We are in lesson 8 of the book of 1 Samuel, and we are moving along here. We are in lesson 8, and we're in the fourth chapter of the book of 1 Samuel, and invite you to open your Bibles to that chapter and go down to verse number 10. Where we left off last week, the Philistines had greatly defeated the Israelites in a battle in a place that is going to soon be called by Samuel Ebenezer, but he's not named the place Ebenezer yet. And so the Israelites have taken matters into their own hands, and they went over to Shiloh, and they got Hophni and Phinehas, the priest, underneath Eli, the wicked, the worthless men, the priest, to help them bring the ark down to that place that's going to be called Ebenezer. And whenever the ark comes into the area where the people are, the warriors of Israel, they shout so loud that the ground actually vibrates. And the people, the Philistines that are in the camp over at Aphek, which is just a short stone's throw away almost, hear it and they say, "What has happened? What has happened?" And they hear that the Ark of the Covenant has come into the camp of the Israelites. And the Philistines are afraid because they've heard all the stories of the reputation of what this Ark of the Covenant did when they took the Promised Land and how it ran all the Philistines and almost all of the Canaanites out of the land and destroyed the people, and they were fearful. And yet in our last verse, verse 9, the Philistines, who were clearly afraid that the tide was about to turn and that the Israelites were now about to lord over them instead of them lording over the Israelites, they said to themselves, "We have to take courage." Well, the Philistines did take courage. And we see next that the Philistines take the power of the Ark of the Covenant. And we also see that the Lord uses them to fulfill His message to Eli. The time has come for the Lord to have His vengeance on the family of Eli. Verse number 10. So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated, and every man fled to his tent. And the slaughter was very great, for there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. 2,000 Israelites died trying to defeat the Philistines, thinking that they could do it with the ark. 4,000 had died shortly before. So now 32,000 and 36,000 Israelites have died at the hands of the Philistines. What was the result? Israel lost the ark that they had brought into the camp. And they had lost the lives of the two priests on the same day. We did not know that the ark was going to be lost. No one has ever told us this. Samuel has not told us this. The Lord has not told Samuel this. The Lord never revealed this point. All we knew that was that something was going to happen that would tingle the ears of the nation of Israel. And that would be the deaths of the two priests. The deaths of the two priests wouldn't have tingled the ears of the Israelites. It had to be something bigger, but we knew it was going to happen on the day that those two priests died. So alas, we come to the announcement of the report of the great loss back in Shiloh and all that happened there in verse 12. Back to Shiloh we go. Now a man of Benjamin ran from the battle line and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes torn and dust on his head. And he came, and behold, Eli was sitting on his seat by the road, eagerly watching, because his heart was trembling for the ark of God. So the man came to tell it in the city, and all the city cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the outcry, he said, "What does the noise of this commotion mean?" And then the man came hurriedly and told Eli. Now, Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were set so that he could not see. The man said to Eli, "I am the one who came from the battle line. Indeed, I escaped from the battle line today." And he said, "How did things go, my son?" Then the one who brought the news replied, "Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there has also been a great slaughter among the people. And your two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the ark of God has been taken." It is interesting that in this story, Samuel plainly states that Eli was more concerned about the ark than anything else. We first heard that Israel had fled before the Philistines. Then we heard that there was a great slaughter. Next, we heard of the death of his two sons. But finally, he heard about the loss of the ark. We come to the report of the result of the report. And the result first of the report was the death of Eli. Now, there's going to be several points underneath this result of the report. The first is the death of Eli. Verse number 18. When he mentioned the ark of God, Eli fell off the seat backward beside the gate, and his neck was broken, and he died, for he was old and heavy. Thus he judged Israel 40 years. Now I want you to picture in your mind, Eli was unmoved by all the news. He was unmoved by the loss of the battle. He was unmoved by the loss of the soldiers. He was unmoved by the loss of his sons. But when he heard about the ark, he was moved. There on that same day as his sons' deaths, Eli died at the age of 98 years old and had served as the high priest for 40 years. But that was not the end of the Lord's punishment on Eli and his family. Remember, I told you there were several points under the report, the results of the report. We come to the birth of Ichabod that I told you about a couple of lessons ago. Samuel tells us about the birth of Ichabod, Eli's grandson, and also the death of Ichabod's mother, verse number 19. Now his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was pregnant and about to give birth. And when she heard the news that the ark of God had been taken and that her father-in-law and her husband had died, she kneeled down and gave birth, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women who stood by her said to her, "Do not be afraid, for you have given birth to a son." But she did not answer or pay attention. And she called the boy Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." Now she said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God was taken." Something that seems to be hidden in the Old Testament can be found in these last few verses. What is that? We see in this last sentence that the glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God was taken. The glory of the nation of Israel was the Ark of the Covenant. The word glory is interesting. The meaning of the Hebrew word means weight or something substantial. It also connotes honor and fame. The substantial weight of the honor and the fame in Israel was the Ark of the Covenant. And when it was taken from Israel, the substantial weight of the honor and the fame of Israel had departed out of the promised land. The dying mother gave her son a name, Ichabod. At least we think it was the dying mother who gave the son, but it may have been one of the women that was there, because we also were told that the son's mother did not respond and did not answer. So it may be the one who asked her gave the name, whichever one we don't know. But the name in Ichabod means inglorious. The word means today dishonorable. For life, Ichabod had to carry around the name dishonorable. Why? It was because of the unchecked sin of his father, his uncle, and Eli, his grandfather, the high priest. And on that day, the line of Eli never held the high priest office again. In addition, Eli's descendants would never have direct access to the blessings of the offerings that were normally extended to the priest, even though some of Eli's descendants were afforded the right to wear the ephod, but not with the honor of those who served in Shiloh or even later in the tabernacle. Upon Eli's death, the priestly line was transferred to Zadok. Zadok's descendants held that high priest line until Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Solomon's temple in 586 BC. Before we turn the page to chapter 5, we must address the future of the location of Shiloh. The ark was gone from the tabernacle and would never return to Shiloh. What happened to Shiloh? Three passages tell us the end of the story for Shiloh. First, we turn to Psalms chapter 78, verse 58 through 64. Speaking about the Lord, the psalm says the following: "For they provoked him with their high places and aroused his jealousy with their graven images. When God heard, he was filled with wrath and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he abandoned the dwelling place at Shiloh, the tent which he had pitched among men, and gave up his strength to captivity and his glory to the hand of the adversary. He also delivered his people to the sword and was filled with wrath at his inheritance. Fire devoured his young men, and his virgins had no wedding songs. His priests fell by the sword, and his widows could not weep." With this passage in mind, the death of Eli, his sons, and the capture of the ark, the Lord intended to and did abandon Shiloh. Next, we look over in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 12, as the Lord has Nebuchadnezzar outside the city of Jerusalem, ready to take that city and to destroy it, and destroy the Solomon's temple inside. And the Lord said the following: "But now go to my place which was in Shiloh, where I made my name dwell at first, and see what I did to it because of the wickedness of my people Israel." In other words, the Lord says, if you want to see what's about to happen here in Jerusalem, go over there and look what is left at Shiloh. Then in the last passage, we look at Jeremiah 26, verse 9. And here the people were reacting to the prophecy of Jeremiah. The priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. And when Jeremiah finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, the priest and the prophets and all the people seized him, saying, "You must die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, 'This house will be like Shiloh, and this city will be desolate without inhabitant'?" And all the people gathered about Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. Jeremiah has prophesied that Jerusalem would be like Shiloh after Nebuchadnezzar is through with it. This caused the people to want Jeremiah dead. The truth is, Jerusalem will be destroyed. And by the time of Jeremiah, nothing remained at Shiloh. While the tabernacle complex was at Shiloh, everything was temporary. The living structures were nothing more than tents. At the time of Jeremiah, if you visited Shiloh, the landscape was wiped clean. This is precisely what Jeremiah was trying to convey, and the Lord was trying to convey through Jeremiah. He wants the people to know what the Lord intends. He intends to wipe Jerusalem clean. Chapter 5 we turn to, and we come to the Philistines' experience of the power of the Ark of the Covenant. And as the Philistines took the Ark away from the Israelites, with the turn of the page to chapter 5, the Philistines would soon experience the power of the Ark of the Covenant when the Philistines found their god Dagon destroyed. Chapter 5, verse 1. Then the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when the Ashtarites arose early the next morning, behold, Dagon had fallen on his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and set him up in his place again. But when they arose early the next morning, behold, Dagon had fallen on his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off on the threshold. Only the trunk of Dagon was left to him. Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon nor all who enter Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod to this day. Now, if you will remember, we met Dagon in Judges chapter 16, 23 through 24, 23 and 24. Chapter 16, 23, 24. Where the Philistines credited Dagon, now that's their fish god, with the capture of Samson. There we reported the following about the worship of Dagon, and I quote from my own commentary. As in all ancient worship, the people were required to make specific offerings to false gods at specific times of the year. In the passage, Judges 16, 23 through 24, it was time for a great sacrifice to Dagon. The Philistines worshipped primarily two gods, Dagon, the fish god, and Beelzebub, the Lord of the Flies, and the name of Satan. Here, the worship is to Dagon. This god was worshipped in Gaza and Ashdod, 1 Samuel 5, 2 through 7, right where we are now. The first part of Dagon is the word dag, and it means fish in Hebrew. Dagon was his Hebrew name. The statue of Dagon had hands, breast, and the head of a man, and the rest of the body was a fish. Hence, the hands of Dagon are mentioned here in 1 Samuel, but not his feet, because he didn't have feet. Now, Dagon was the emblem of fertility and productiveness for the sea-going people, thus the fish. You can find the image of this god on ancient Philistine and Phoenician coins in museums, especially in Assyria and all around in the British museums. Now, the destruction of Dagon recorded in our Samuel passage brought great fear on the Philistines. That the writer tells us, therefore neither the priest of Dagon nor all who enter Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod to this day. Well, when the priest and the Philistine people entered Dagon's temple to worship, they step over the door's threshold, careful not to step on it as they enter, because that's where the head and the palms, hands of Dagon were. And all of this information was just a memory of Samuel as he was recording it for the Lord years after it transpired. Now, the ark brought great fear to the Philistines with the destruction of their god, but it did not cause them to find the need to return it to Israel immediately. But that will change soon when the Philistines become tumor-ravaged as the Philistines are afflicted by the ark. Chapter 5, verse number 6. Now the hand of the Lord was heavy on the Ashtarites, and he ravaged them and smote them with tumors, both Ashdod and its territories. Ashdod was one of the five major cities in the Philistine area, called what we call today the Gaza Strip. It is called that because it is a narrow strip of land that runs north and south along the Mediterranean Sea, kind of turns a little bit. And it's about 7 miles wide and 32 miles long. It's been that same thing forever almost. And as with the cities of the Promised Land, each city was responsible to protect, as a fortress, to protect the many small unwalled villages and settlements that were around that city. So those main cities were Ashdod, Ekron, Gaza, Ashkelon, and Gath. They were walled and they had gates. So if anything began to happen, the people from the little villages and outposts would run to the city to be safe. Ashdod sat on the coastline, almost directly in the center of the Philistine territory. In other words, it's about 16 miles to its north, 16 miles to its south. And it was the perfect place for the Temple of Dagon. Centrally located, it was easy for all Philistines to visit from time to time. Now, what did these tumors look like? The Hebrew word is ophel. And the best English translation that we could really put here is they were bleeding hemorrhoids. The King James Version of the Bible calls them emrods because that's the way they spelled hemorrhoids back in those days in 1611. It's interesting, the word ophel was not allowed to be read in the synagogue. It was such an offensive word in the Hebrew language in the synagogues that when priests came to this word in the reading of this verse, he would pronounce it terhorim, terhorim. Moses used the word terhorim to explain one of the plagues of Egypt in Deuteronomy 28, 27. Both of these words, ophel and terhorim, means a swelling turnout. Not fit for public reading, the word tumor has now been substituted. No doubt, the tumors, hemorrhoids, were present in men throughout all of the Philistine territory. It did not take long for the Philistines to put two and two together, to blame their loathsome, painful, bleeding hemorrhoids on the Ark of the Covenant. Now, they're not quite sure, but they think it's so. So Samuel writes how the Philistines complain about the Ark in verse number 7. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was said, "The Ark of God of Israel must not remain with us, for his hand is severe on us and on Dagon our God." So they sent and gathered all the lords of the Philistines to them and said, "What shall we do with the Ark of the God of Israel?" What shall we do with the Ark of the God of Israel? The Philistines wanted a plan. And they wanted a plan, and they wanted it made quickly. And they tried to get rid of the Ark as soon as possible. Thus, the five lords of the Philistines made a decision. Samuel writes of the Philistines' relocation of the Ark in verse 8b. "And they said, 'Let the Ark of the God of Israel be brought around to Gath.' And they brought the Ark of the God of Israel around. And after they had brought it around, the hand of the Lord was against the city with very great confusion. And he smote the men of the city, both young and old, so that tumors broke out on them." Okay, from Ashdod, the Lord's Ark was sent over to Gath. Now I want you to understand this. Here is Ashdod on the coast, directly in the middle of the Philistine area, 16 miles to the north, 16 miles to the south, on the western border. And they sent it to Gath, which is almost directly east, about 6 miles from Ashdod, just going over to the other border that's right next to the tribe of Judah. And as we read with the reception of the Ark in Gath, what happened? Well, just like what happened over in Ashdod, the men and the boys of Gath developed the same bleeding hemorrhoids as what happened over in Ashdod. Well, Gath was just as troubled with the ark as Ashdod. So Samuel tells us that the Philistines then decided to transfer the ark to Ekron. This is the third of the major cities in the Philistine area. Verse number 10. So they sent the ark of God to Ekron. And as the ark of God came to Ekron, the Ekronites cried out, saying, "They have brought the ark of God of Israel around to us to kill us and our people." They sent therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines and said, "Send away the ark of the God of Israel and let it return to its own place so that it will not kill us and our people." For there was a deadly confusion throughout the city, and the hand of God was heavy there. And the men who did not die were smitten with tumors, and the cry of the city went up to the heaven. Ekron was the northernmost city in the Philistine land. And as we read, the reputation of this ark has preceded the ark and preceded its arrival, and the people did not want it in Ekron. And it did not take long for the fears to be fulfilled. And in Ekron, the same plague of the bleeding hemorrhoids arrives, and many die. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now the ark of the Lord had been in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priest and the diviner, saying, "What shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us how we shall send it to its place."